God's mercies are new each morning, and God's purposeful presence is found in every season. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
First reading is from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and I'll praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of aliens, a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. You have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat, from the blast of the ruthless looks like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place. You subdued the heat with a shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will bake for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And we said on that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pasture and leads me beside still water.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Urge Yodi and I urge Sintish to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
These marks on my face are, am I that loud?
You're fine.
I wanted you to be sure to hear me. I think, Don, am I better now?
Fine.
I'm fine. I know that, but how's the sound?
That's fine.
I was going to tell you, these marks in my face are not good. They're stitches. I had a little light surgery to put tucks in my eyebrow. They're like tummy tucks, only a couple feet higher, you know. And I want you to know that today, when I look at you, I'll be seeing not only your feet, but also your head. And you can tell me the crummiest joke you've ever heard, and I'll be in stitches. Well, I'm supposed to preach. Preach, man, preach, they say in the black church. And talk to somebody at the first service. We have these blankets. If anyone gets tired and goes to sleep, we'll pass out to help you. There were five cookies in the bag that the woman bought at an automat, together with a cup of coffee. She spied a vacant chair opposite a man who was reading a newspaper. She went over to a little round table there, put her coffee and cookies on the table in her purse, sat down, opened the bag, took out a cookie, and started to eat it. The man put down his paper. He reached across the table, took a cookie, and started to eat it. She was a bit perplexed, but said nothing. A little later, she took a second cookie, whereupon the man did the same thing. Only one cookie was left in the bag. The man reached across the table, broke that cookie in half, ate half of it, nodded to the woman, got up and left. Well, the woman was confused, a bit angry. She ate that half cookie, finished her coffee, got up to go, picked up her purse, and next to her purse was her bag of cookies. Now she realized that the man wasn't eating her cookies, she was eating his. She thought she was doing the right thing, but she was wrong. Today's gospel tells about people who thought they were doing the right thing, but they were wrong. A king gave this banquet, as we heard in the gospel, for his son's wedding, a gala affair. Everybody who was anybody was invited. The house, the banquet hall was lavishly decorated. The oxen and the fatted calves were killed. Everything was ready. People had been invited. And now he sent the servants and said, now's the time to come. But all of them refused to come. They went back and they told the king, and he said, well, this can't be. We need guests for this wedding of my son. So he sent out other servants and said, really, you must come. And one man said, you know, I'd like to come, but I bought a farm and I've got to check it out. This is my livelihood, my future. I can't come. Another man said, well, I just bought some oxen. These were his means of transportation, his delivery trucks, if you will. And he said, I can't come. A third man said, oh, I just got married, and you wouldn't expect a man to come while he's on his honeymoon. So none of these persons came. The king said, well, we'll go out into the highways and the byways. Find anybody you can and invite those people to come. And they found one person here, another there. And after a period of time, the banquet was filled with guests. These were nondescript people, not accustomed to the delicacies of fine dining, nothing like that. They gaped at all the finery. And then the king came, impressive, imposing, smiling. They stretched their necks to see him, and the king came down that row of tables, and suddenly he spied a man whose clothes weren't fit for a wedding. He said to the man, how did you get in here with clothes like that? He said, bind him hand and feet and throw him out. I can relate to that. About a dozen years or so, Mary and I were in Hong Kong. Actually, we were in Kowloon. We took the Star Ferry over to Hong Kong many times. And we saw an ad about Macau, an island, independent nation then, some 64 miles away. And these fast jet boats that skimmed across the water got one there in about an hour. So we went to Macau. There's a capital there and a fort and a few things. But the main attraction was at the Lisboa Hotel, a casino. The roof of the building was like a giant roulette wheel. And we thought, well, we're not casino people, but we'll check it out. And so we went, and we got there, and the doorman said to me, you can't go inside. Your clothes are not good enough. I was wearing shorts, Bermuda shorts, you know. While he was telling us this, a couple women came wearing short shorts, and they walked right in. And then he explained that the policy was that men could not enter in shorts, but women could. Well, we walked back into the town. There was a clothing store. We went inside. I bought the cheapest pair of pants you could get, big enough to put on over my shorts. We went back, went into the casino, and gaped around like everybody else. But I could relate to that man whose clothes were not good enough for the wedding. Now for a doorman at a casino to say something like that, or even for a king to reject a person because the clothing wasn't satisfactory, is bad enough. But the clear implication of this parable is that God is like that. The kingdom of heaven, it says, is like a king. This king rejected people. Think of God, his cruelty, not caring, rejecting people whose clothes are not good enough. I brought my bulletin over here because on the front of the bulletin is an explanation of why the king said what he did. In that culture, it was a practice for rich people, especially a king, to provide the garments for guests at a wedding. And here I see this king. He has a lot of garments, white garments, over his right arm. He handed a garment to a person there, and then with his hand is pointing to the place where the wedding guests, where the wedding banquet would be held. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. God sent Jesus into the world, who died on a cross, was raised from the dead to redeem us. He was completely obedient to God, obedient unto death. He was entirely righteous. Christ's righteousness becomes ours through faith, so that we are properly clothed to go to the banquet. The Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might know the righteousness of Christ. Having no righteousness of our own, we read in Philippians, Christ's righteousness becomes ours. He provides, through grace, the garments that we need to be admitted to the banquet of the Son. Revelation talks about who are these and where did they come from? And the answer is, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white. We're there with the white robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a hymn, I'm not sure I can quote it, but it's something like, Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my lovely dress, or something like this. With this I'm adorned. We put on the garment that the Lord provides. It's like the prodigal son. You know, he was given his inheritance, went and wasted it in riotous living, finally had to go out to the pig pen and feed the pigs. I like the way the King James translation says he fain would fill his belly with the husks of swine did eat, but no one gave him anything. So he went back to the father who was standing there waiting, a light in the window, where is my wandering child tonight? Ran down the road and threw his arms around his son and says, put shoes on his feet. Slaves go barefoot. Put shoes, he's my son. And then he said, put a robe on him. You know the little song, I've got shoes, you've got shoes. All God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. I got a robe. You got a robe. All God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. And then the song continues. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Heaven, heaven. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. You and I walk all over God's heaven, guests at the heavenly banquet, not because of who we are or what we do, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which becomes our own. A poet put it like this, as if standing before the throne of God, saying the words, look, Father, look on Christ's anointed face, and only look on us as found in him. For in between our sins and their reward, we place the passion of your Son, our Lord. the righteousness of Jesus Christ, achieved because of his obedience to the Father, obedience even unto death, becomes ours through faith. By the grace of God, we are given the garments that make us fit for the wedding banquet. Amen.